Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Life can be such a mixture of emotions, sometimes different ones, all at the same time, right? Through my own life experiences, I've found that quite often, moments of grace are often strangely intertwined with moments of unworthiness. What do I mean by that? Well, here's one of my recollections of a time when I experienced grace and unworthiness sharing the same airspace. My story takes place during the early years of Dave's and my ministry. We'd recently completed our first call in a four-point rural parish located in north central North Dakota. Having received calls to serve at a large Lutheran church in Bismarck, our household essentials had already been moved to our new home. However, there were still a few assorted boxes that had remained to be stored in the house, which had served as the parsonage in our first call. We needed to return to our former home and pick up the boxes. Well, as we arrived, we discovered some friendly faces waiting for us. Henry and Janice were standing there at the house, waiting to greet us. These two special folks had been like extra parents to us. And true to form, they showed up to load boxes and make sure we were well fed before we departed. I'll always remember that last feast with them. Sitting at the picnic table in the backyard, they brought hamburgers and fries from Maggie's Drive-In. That's Willow City's equivalent of Earl's. Janice had made some of her fresh peach pie, still warm from the oven. We felt humbled that they would choose to care for us so graciously. Even now, who were we to share these moments of unconditional love and concern? Willow City was a humble little town of less than 300 people. We were leaving them behind, promoted to the big city church. And yet, Hank and Janice offered us their very best. Moments of gifting and grace. Moments of humility and unworthiness. So often these moments in life come intertwined, and I think today's lessons are reflective of this truth. Our first lesson tells the story of the prophet Isaiah, who's granted a vision of God. The scene is described as a glorious vision. Isaiah sees the Lord God sitting high upon his throne in his holy temple. And this is such an imposing and impressive sight that just the hem of God's robe fills the entire temple. Seraphs attend the Lord God. Now, cherubim are probably the angels we're most familiar with. They seem to appear around Christmas time, fat, pudgy little things that have little wings and look very appealing. The term seraph is translated from Hebrew as burning one or bright, shining one. What an awe-inspiring sight these fiery six-winged creatures must have been. In the presence of the Almighty, they call out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What a gift to behold such a wondrous vision. Yet in the presence of such a glorious gift, Isaiah senses his own unworthiness. He is distraught in the presence of pure holiness. Isaiah cries out in fear, "Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips." One of those seraphs picks up a burning coal from the temple altar and flies to Isaiah, touching it to his lips. The burning ember is symbolic. It cleanses Isaiah in God's presence and prepares him for the work that God is about to call him into. "Whom shall I send?" asks God. And Isaiah quickly responds, "Here am I. Send me." Unworthiness mixed with unexpected grace, indeed. As Isaiah stands before God, in humility, he confesses his unworthiness to be in the presence of the divine. God's gracious response is not to focus judgment on Isaiah, but to focus on cleansing Isaiah from his sin. God doesn't just leave it there. He invites Isaiah into even deeper relationship, calling him and sending him out with a prophetic message for God's people. Our gospel lesson also connects with this concept of grace and humility. The scene described in our gospel lesson is quite picturesque. Jesus is down by the lake shore, and word is spreading across town. Soon, a sizable crowd is gathered to hear Jesus teach. And as the crowd closes in on Jesus, as crowds often do, they press ever closer. And perhaps as the water begins to lap at Jesus' sandals and the hem of his robe, he steps into Simon's boat and asks Simon to put out into the water just a bit. Jesus can now teach from a floating pulpit. That's pretty cool. When Jesus finishes teaching, he tells Simon, "Simon, put the boat out into the deep water. Let your nets down for a catch." Now, we've already heard the disciples have been out fishing all night long. They are fishing in Lake Gennesaret. That's sometimes, or maybe more commonly known as Lake Galilee. Now, it's not as big as Lake of the Woods, but it is the largest freshwater lake in Israel. 13 miles long, by 8 miles wide. It has an average depth of 84 feet. And some sources believe that there were as many as 37 varieties of fish in Lake Galilee during Jesus' time. It would be a prime location for commercial fishing. In this particular lake, commercial fishermen would go out in their boat with their nets at night to fish in the deepest of the waters. Their wooden boats were about 30 feet long by 8 feet wide, and those boats were very shallow, only about 4 feet deep. Their nets were large and cumbersome. The heavy nets would be cast into the lake throughout the night and then pulled back into the boat to see if there were any fish, usually in a circle of about 100 feet in diameter. This went on all night long. And it was strenuous work. So we can imagine that after a hard, unsuccessful night, our fishing friends were tired and grumpy. When they'd cleaned up their nets, they could finally go home. I don't think it would have been a welcome suggestion for Simon to have told these guys, "Let's go out and put our nets back into the water." So Simon raised a valid protest with Jesus. "Master, we've been out all night long. We haven't caught a thing." And then he relents. "But if you say so, Lord, I will let down the nets." Well, despite the groans as they went out into the deep once again, imagine their surprise when they did as Jesus asked and the nets were filled to the breaking point. A second boat had to be called from shore to help secure the catch. And now hundreds of flopping fish lay in their boats, almost filling them to the point of sinking. What a glorious gift. What an encounter of pure and unexpected grace from the Lord. And Simon is simply awestruck. To be in Jesus' divine presence and witness this stupendous miracle of nature, well, it levels him. And so in the presence of one so clearly sent by God, Simon recognizes his unworthiness and falls to the ground before Jesus. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In the face of such abundant graciousness, Simon is recognizing his own unworthiness to receive. But what is Jesus' response here? Jesus isn't focusing on Peter's confession. Jesus, the divine presence, invites Peter into deeper relationship. "Don't be afraid," Simon says. "From now on, you will be fishing for people." Jesus wants Simon to understand that he needn't be afraid. To follow Jesus, to be in companionship with him, means to receive unexpected grace in abundance. Luke tells us the guys are all in. These humble fishermen bring their boats to shore and leave their nets on the beach, and off they go to follow Jesus. Now, I think that we tend to reserve holy moments for holy people, or at the very least, holy occasions. But our scripture lessons today tell us a different story. They show us that the most holy and miraculous of moments can break into the most ordinary parts of our life. We don't know much about the prophet Isaiah. In the scheme of things, he's just an ordinary guy with an extraordinary glimpse of God. We know that Simon was a rough and tumble fisherman used to working long, hard hours. another ordinary guy until Jesus appeared on the scene. God seems to have a thing for the ordinary and humble folks. In fact, it's the humble, ordinary, unworthy folks like you and me that God invites into deeper relationship. So what does all of this mean? To humbly recognize our unworthiness, to experience God's grace freely and abundantly given, to live more deeply and fully in relationship to the one who is gift, who gives pure grace, and who calls us to be grace in the world. One more story. I will never forget the day that Dave and I left the hospital with our brand new baby girl. We were quite the parade, walking down the hospital corridor. First came Flo, our nurse. Yes, I still remember her after all these years. She was expertly carrying our sweet Emily safely buckled into her infant car seat. Then came Dave carrying my suitcase and pillow. And finally there was me loaded down with all the new baby gear. Flo helped us get Emily's car seat safely buckled into the car, and then we drove away. And as we turned our car toward home, our precious, perfect baby girl in the back, we wondered aloud, how on earth did the hospital trust us to leave? What did we know about caring for a baby? Nothing! We were totally inadequate human beings entrusted with a brand new treasure. Well, as most parents do, we discovered we had to live into this experience of parenting. We needed to trust that God would provide what we needed when we needed it. Moments of unworthiness, moments of grace. Perhaps it is when we feel most unworthy and inadequate that our Lord can do His best work in and through us. So friends, what if we began each day confessing our need for the grace that only our Lord God can bring? What if we regularly expected God's grace moments to be sprinkled in and among the everyday people and circumstances of our lives? And what if we lived into our days by offering ourselves up to whatever God lays before us? For you see, this transcendent, holy God of ours cares about us, cares about what happens in the world, and He invites us to walk with Him. He invites us to trust Him. He invites us to open ourselves to the grace upon grace, which God will abundantly provide as we lean into life with Him. Amen.